we're entering into our second week of our Advent Christmas series called Silent Night. And this week, we're going to be talking about Joseph and his silent night. But before we dive into that, I want to tell you guys a story. There's this person I know, or I know of, and we'll call him Paul. And he is from back home, and he was someone who always went to church. He was really devout at reading his Bible every day. He was a pretty serious prayer, and he just kind of had the whole, like, he had a good relationship with God, and he went to church on Sunday and did community really well, and he kind of just had, like, the whole deal together of, like, how you're supposed to grow in your relationship with God. And one day at church, he was sitting in a pew, and he looked over at this lady, and he looked at her and was like, whoa, she is something special. And he just, like, had this feeling about her. And so they started seeing each other, and they started hanging out, and then When they had started dating, she told him what could have been very bad news. And then that was that she was pregnant, and that she had gotten pregnant while they were kind of seeing each other and started to date. And she was super repentant, but she knew that what she deserved was to be told, I never want to see you again. Because that's the response I would have had. I'm pretty confident that that's what I would want to say. And that's what people's friends would advise to them, right? Is like, you just started dating her. Like, look, she's already, like, this is a mess. Like, get out of there as fast as you possibly can. But Paul didn't do that. He might have had some inner turmoil. He might have been devastated. But the only part I know of the story is that he knew from God that he was supposed to be with her. And so he went and he talked to her, and he said, I'm gonna raise this kid like it's my own. And that was his only answer to her. And then they got married, and it really, it's like a fairy tale. They lived happily ever after. They're serving in their church now. They're a little bit older than me, and they have some more kids. But, like, when I heard that, I was like, that is mind-blowing, because that's, like, totally not what we conventionally think is the right advice, right? To me, the right advice would be run away and don't see the person again. But when God gives someone a charge, some amazing things can happen. And Joseph kind of had a similar situation, a little bit different. But before we dive into him, I just want to make note, the first part, so we're going through Matthew 1 today. The first section is just this giant genealogy. You guys probably get to these parts of the Bible, if you're reading it, and you're like, bunch of names, cool. And then you skip down to the next section, because I have done that many times. And it says this in Matthew 1:1. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And then it says, this is like the boringest thing ever. It's like, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of... And then it keeps going like that. And then it says David's name eventually. And then it says this Babylonian exile. And then it says at the end, it's in verse 16, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So just remember that. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. And then enter Joseph's story. In verse 18, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And this is maybe actually a little bit under the engagement is what they keep calling it. This betrothal would have actually been a little more legally binding than a typical engagement like, hey, can I have my ring back? We're not going to be together anymore. There would have been a little more legal status, so it would actually be to quietly divorce her. Even though they haven't consummated the marriage and had everything finalized, it still would have been a divorce. And Joseph, and like this sounds like you're like, oh, what a jerk, right? No, like, and he's like, Mary says the power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, someone comes up to you and says, hey, I'm pregnant, but you're going to be like, you're a crazy person. Yeah, God made you pregnant. Uh-huh. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here. Nobody's given me. But like, probably the response is something along those lines like, uh-oh, what have I got myself into with this person? They're probably going to be stalking me. I got to change my Facebook name and all this stuff. But Joseph actually does the noble thing in his time, because there would have been an option in the law for him to publicly say, hey, this woman committed adultery. And they'd be like, are you sure? Well, she's got this baby bump going on. And then they would have been like, oh, well, seems to be right. And then they would have stoned her. That's what could have happened. And so Joseph is actually doing the right and better thing in the situation, the nicer thing, and the more like good thing to do is to quietly divorce her so that she won't publicly be shamed and stoned as sometimes or as often was the custom at certain times in at this time. And so Joseph was actually just going along in his regular life. He had his silent night where he wanted to divorce, quietly depart from this thing. Where he was doing his life and he was going along as it normally was, and he just wanted it to stay that way. And he was like, this isn't what I signed up for when I signed the original agreement with this. And then it says this in verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David. The angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So he hears this from an angel of the Lord who says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid to encounter and to engage into what the Lord has planned for your life. And prophetically speaking, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, words had been spoken that the line of David would be where the Savior comes from. And Joseph is that link. Joseph is the person from the line of David that links Jesus into David, that brings God's overarching story and his promises into being. And Joseph says yes, and he is obedient. And though he was doing the right thing before and the honorable, noble thing, he's now doing the thing that God has prepared for him. He's now being obedient and saying yes, even though it's hard, even though it's a challenge, and even though it's going to be a struggle. He's entering into something greater where God is going to bless the world with the birth of this child. Joseph's response was obedience. And instead of just going along and being obedient as a Jewish follower, he enters into the story that God wants to tell and he engages with his commands so that so much more can happen. There's going to be times in our lives where the same things come up just like this, where we have to say yes to big things. Of course, there's little yeses that get us to where we're at now, but there's probably a few big yeses. And for you, if you've been seeking out God, there's probably a few things where God's spoken to you and it's been hard, or it's been a challenge, or it's been you having to step out and to not be afraid, as the angel tells Joseph. But I know that when you say yes to God, so much more can happen. As he begins to unveil the story of your life, I know that I want to be in on the story that God wants to tell, and I want to be as closely aligned with that will. For me, I was thinking back on this, and there really aren't that many big yeses that feel like they got me to where I am. There's like a couple of decisions probably in high school, and there's my decision to go to the school I went to and to have a call to ministry. After I graduated college, I worked at the church that I grew up in, which didn't really feel like a big challenge, yes. It felt like one of those just like living life along as it's going. But then when I was 24, this one is much more of a challenge. When I was 24, I really wanted to move. I knew it was time to move on from being a youth pastor. I had had enough with junior hires. They're amazing and I love them, and I am so proud of everyone who can work with them. It's rough sometimes. Axe body spray with seventh grade boys. Don't miss that. And I was working at the church I grew up in, and my parents actually went to a different church. And I was like, okay, I'm done with living with my mom and dad. When you're 24, it's already super not cool. You guys are all not living with your parents and maybe don't have any plans to ever go back. Not what I did. So I went and checked out a church that my friend was working at, where I might have an opportunity to work there. And it seemed good and seemed cool, and he had some really good ideas. But I just had a sense that something wasn't right about it. And then as I began to pray and to seek God, I really felt like he was asking me to go and ask the senior pastor of my parents' church, which was this small church of like 110 people, if they could make some sort of job or some way that I could kind of work there. And I was like, ugh. What have I done? So that's how I ended up living with my mom and dad for another 2 years until I was midway through 26, which didn't feel like a cool decision or the good decision in my head. But I know that God used that time to form me and to shape me. And then when I applied for the job here, it was the only job I applied for, which was foolish, but I just knew that God was working in it, and I ended up moving here, and that's kind of how I ended up here. And then I ended up getting married here, which is awesome, and I'm still living here, and I love South Dakota. I actually, guys, this week, I got rid of all my Canadian bank account stuff, so now I'm like mostly living in America and like don't have stuff there. It's really nice. Not a citizen currently yet, but someday maybe. If you guys would have saw me 2 years ago, I would have never said someday maybe. But it's crazy the ways that God can work. And moving here wasn't easy. Moving 24 hours away from my friends and family and every single person that I knew. But it's really like three or four yeses in that quick story that got me to here. That stretched me, that pushed me, but that God knew that he had a plan and a story being unveiled, and I'm so excited to see what else he has in store. And when we're being obedient to him, when we're living a life dedicated to him, and we're seeking him in prayer, and we're reading our Bible, and we're communing with other believers, we're gonna have lots of small yeses that we have to say to God, but we're gonna have a couple of big ones. Some that really frighten us, some that might not feel good or might not be the soundest logic that people would advise you. I don't think many people would have advised Joseph, oh yeah, you should probably just marry her. They would have been like, you're crazy. But God has this story that he wants to tell with each of your lives. And there's going to be times where you're going along and you're doing things right. And he asks you to do something that feels a little crazy or pretty risky or maybe way out of your comfort zone. And if it's from him, he's going to make amazing things happen with it. We need to be people that say yes, that get excited. In the same way that Advent is about excitement and anticipation and the buildup to the birth of Christ, we need to be excited as we live our lives dedicated to God to approach times where we're going to have to give a big yes. And if we're rightly aligning ourselves with God now, when we hear these things, these big challenges, these hurdles, these moves, or whatever it might be, when we know it's from God, and we hear him speak, and we say yes, because we're not afraid, amazing things are going to happen. For Joseph, he linked the line of Abraham and David to Jesus. And he ended up getting to raise the Son of God. It's not going to be our thing. But God has things planned for you. And he's writing beautiful stories in this room. Engage with it. Follow him and be excited to encounter the big yes moments where we get to really practice our obedience to him, where we get to give ourselves over to Jesus. We're going to go into a time of prayer. And I would love if you guys would just pray about this. Pray excitedly and pray that you wouldn't have fear when the day comes. There's going to be some people in the back. If you want to be prayed for anything, like absolutely anything, they would love to pray with you. Just please go back and be prayed for if something's weighing on your heart. Let's all pray together. God, you are good. And you are love. God, thank you for sending your son to this earth. Thank you for being with us daily and being a part of our walk. And God, thank you for paving the way for us. God, help us to align with your will. Help us to walk in step with you. And God, as big things come up, help us to be people that are obedient to you. Help us to be people excited to be called your friend. As Jesus said, the ones who keep my commands are my friend. God, help us to be people excited to say yes, even when it's going to hurt, even when it's going to be hard. And God, I pray that as we say yes to those things, that we would see the many, many, many blessings and the many ways that you're going to work through our lives when we are obedient. God, we love you and we pray all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.